This is Jay Sekulow. The evidence is clear. A virus of deception has infected the White House, the State Department, and the Department of Justice.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What I can say is that this was not some demonstration motivated by this video that suddenly spun up into an attack on our facilities. This was a coordinated attack.
Some have sought to justify this vicious behavior as a response to inflammatory material posted on the internet.
What I think we have been able to say is that this wasn't a demonstration gone awry. This was a coordinated attack.
This was not a pre-planned, premeditated attack. That what happened initially was that it was a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired in Cairo as a consequence of the video.
Over those 2 hours, while our men were dying, our ambassador was being killed and dragged through the street, they were saying they didn't want to do anything because it might hurt the Libyans' feelings.
Well, I'm not saying they didn't want to do anything. I'm saying that our response was slowed because of an obsession with hurting the Libyans' feelings. And of the 10 action items that came out of that civets, half of them dealt with the video. Half of them, including directing Secretary Panetta to call YouTube.
I'll leave it to others to characterize this report, but I think it's pretty clear it's time to move on.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Terror abroad again as the death toll is rising. Terror strikes at one of the world's busiest airports. Three armed attackers stormed the international airport in Istanbul, Turkey, opening fire and blowing themselves up. These killers and terrorists did. 41 people is the latest count that we have. We can tell you that 239 are believed to have been injured at this point.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Obviously, major terrorist attack in Turkey. This comes on the heels of another level of threat that John Brennan thinks will be aimed at the United States, including at airport facilities at the United States. This is our head of our CIA, so we'll get into some of that. We start the show with the virus of deception has infected the Obama administration, the State Department, and the Department of Justice. I say that because upon our review of the Benghazi report, it is clear that the president, his administration, Secretary Clinton, lied. And they lied in multiple places in multiple ways. Excuse me. Two of our officers were killed in Benghazi, actually four, including this, when you add in Chris, the head of the Benghazi mission, the ambassador, Chris Stevens. Here's what happened. This intentional deploy of a false narrative became very relevant and very clear when they utilized this video line. Remember this famous line? We have the audio on this, the famous line about the with this video. It was inspired by a video. This was not a pre-planned attack. I want you to listen to this opening.
This was not a pre-planned, premeditated attack. That what happened initially was that it was a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired in Cairo as a consequence of the video.
So the video is completely false. There was an email from Hillary Clinton that night to Chelsea Clinton, her daughter, saying that this was an Al-Qaeda-inspired attack. The next day, to the Egyptian Prime Minister, Hillary Clinton, we know that the attack in Libya had nothing to do with the film. It was a planned attack, not a protest. 2 days later, Ben Rhodes, one of the heads of the Obama administration, especially in the policy issues, underscore that these protests are rooted in an internet video. This is what he tells Susan Rice, and not a broader failure of policy. Then, the diary entry of Charles Wood, the father of Tyrone Wood. I gave Hillary a hug, shook her hand, and she said, "We're going to have the filmmaker arrested who is responsible for the death of my son." That narrative, completely and utterly false. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110 when we come back from the break, 800-684-3110. And then, of course, the horrible tragedy with 41 dead, 239 injured in what looks like an ISIS-inspired or ISIS attack in Turkey. We'll talk about the ramifications of that as well. Turkey is a NATO partner, and by the way, Turkey had signed a resumption of its foreign policy relations, formal diplomatic relations with Israel yesterday, the day of the attack. Back with more in just a moment.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. A virus of deception infecting the State Department, the Department of Justice, and we believe the Obama administration. That's our takeaway from the phenomenally thorough report that was done by the Benghazi Select Committee. We are joined right now by Congressman Mike Pompeo, who is on the Intelligence Committee, but also on the House Select Benghazi Committee. Congressman, thanks for being with us. All right, I think we lost the congressman. So I'm tell you what we're going to do. We're going to recast this. Stan, let's talk about what we've got here. We have a situation where I gave you the analysis, folks. I'm going to give it to you again. Hillary Clinton sends an email to her daughter the night of the attack saying it was an Al-Qaeda-like group. That's number one. Number two, we know that the attack in Libya had nothing to do with the film. It was a planned attack, not a protest. That's her email to the Egyptian prime minister the very next day. Yet on September 14th, 2 days later, 3 days after the attack, Ben Rhodes from the White House says, underscore, that these protests are rooted, quote, in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. Susan Rice then appears on the Sunday news programs and follows the Benghazi attacks were, in fact, sponsored by this video. So on and on it goes. We're joined right now by Congressman Mike Pompeo. Congressman, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
It's great to be with you today.
Give me your takeaway. Obviously, you issued a special report as well, but let's talk about your takeaway for the American people. Yesterday on the broadcast, we talked about the lack of military assets being deployed. Talk to me about the deception here of this video.
So from the very beginning, Secretary Clinton knew that this was a terror attack, almost certainly from Ansar al-Sharia, Islamic jihadist that raided a compound that she was responsible for. She knew that, but she told one story privately and one story publicly. She was telling her daughter, the Egyptians and the Libyans, that it was terror. And she told the American people for days and days and days that it was a protest in response to a video. Indeed, she said, what difference does it make? I think our report demonstrates it made a heck of a lot of difference to the men and women who were on the ground.
Let me ask you this. I try to figure out, why would they come out with a narrative that ends up not only being proved false, but we've got an email or a summary of a conversation that Hillary Clinton had. It's in your report. To the Egyptian prime minister, we know that the attack in Libya had nothing to do with the film. It was a planned attack, not a protest. Why would then Ben Rhodes to continue to put the false narrative out there about this being an internet video and have Susan Rice appear on the Sunday talk shows and do just that? Why in the world would they do that?
Susan Rice was put on the Sunday shows because she didn't know anything about what was going on in Benghazi, and they could brief her, and they did. They briefed her with two political people. They briefed her with Ben Rhodes and David Plouffe, senior Obama-Clinton political people. I think the reason they put this story out is very clear. It's consistent with this administration for years now. They want to deny that the war on terror is real. And they were 56 days out from a presidential election, And the narrative of Osama bin Laden being dead, GM being alive, and Al-Qaeda being on the run was at the core of their campaign. And so the last thing they wanted was to go out and tell the American people 56 days out that we've just had terrorists kill Americans. They wanted to delay and deny. And as you see now, they say, when the full report comes out, nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting also in this one, we had Colonel Wes Smith on the broadcast yesterday. He's a senior advisor to the ACLJ. He was actually the chaplain in charge of the receiving of the bodies at Andrews Air Force Base, where Hillary Clinton and the president were, of course, present with the families. And he heard with his own ears. In fact, we have that. I'm going to play the sound for you, Congressman. This was the chaplain that was there talking about, and this we had him on radio yesterday, talking about what he heard Secretary Clinton say to the families.
They lied to the families, Jay, because I was there with the families. And Secretary Clinton said, we're going to get to the bottom of this and find out who made this video. And she talked to them about this video herself. Now she denies that. But in fact, she did.
So, Congressman, there we have the chaplain that was there. We have the diary from Charles Woods, father of Tyrone Woods. And I'm trying to figure out 3 days later, I'm Hillary Clinton. I get it that they're trying to make a political statement. But how in the world did they not think you all, and of course, I guess they didn't think there'd be a Benghazi committee, would not catch this. But the American people have been lied to here, and there is, we're calling this a virus of deception inside of this administration.
Well, there's no doubt the American people were deceived directly by President Obama and Secretary Clinton with respect to this. Look, I don't know what was in their head. I suspect they thought we wouldn't be dogged and determined and chase emails. Remember, at this point in time, most of those emails are on her private server. I suspect they thought we'd never figure that out and get to it. That they could block and deceive and deny, and that people would forget. I hope the American people won't forget that. My wife sat on the day of Hillary Clinton's testimony. She sat with the father of Charles Woods. She sat with him all day. And I think we did an enormous service to those families and to America by uncovering the fact that there was this enormous deceit. I hope the American people will hold accountable all those responsible for that deception.
Well, Congressman, I will tell you that the report in and of itself is a phenomenal piece of work, and I've been litigating cases a long time, and you all did a great job. Let me turn our attention to the horrific terror attack yesterday in Turkey. You serve on the Intelligence Committee. Another reminder very quickly here. Now, ISIS has not yet claimed responsibility, but we have 41 dead, 239 injured. Friends of mine in Israel saying that the next to Ben-Gurion Airport, that the Turkish airport was probably the most secure in the world. We don't know if it's ISIS yet. What are you hearing?
So don't have any confirmation yet either, but I suspect when things are uncovered, we will find that this was another Islamist attack, a jihadist intent on the destruction of things that are valuable to the West. That airport is a central corridor between Asia and Europe, and indeed does have enormous security. It's one more incident added to the pile from Turkey now to Orlando, to San Bernardino, back to Fort Hood, this series of Islamist violence. Frankly, it's all the way back to Benghazi, Libya, now almost 4 years ago. Yep. Where terrorists have taken on the West, and this administration has done nothing to defeat it where it grows.
So, Congressman, last question here for you, and that is the administration claiming that ISIS is losing some territory inside of Syria and Iraq, that they're, in the sense, imploding a little bit, but it does not take much of ISIS left to do these horrific acts. What does the administration need to be doing to really engage this enemy? Maybe naming the enemy be the first thing they should do. But what is the process here, in your view?
Addressing and understanding that we're at war and that they're at war with us and it's inescapable, we can't just walk away from it, is a very good start. But then it takes a concerted effort, military for sure, but political and diplomatic as well. But when you have Secretary Kerry out saying, gosh, this is a desperate act, when we all know that that's not the truth, this is not an act of desperation. We may have taken some real estate back from ISIS on the ground in Iraq and Syria, but they're continuing to extend their tentacles into the West, into Europe, and into North Africa. They are not on the run. They are not JV, and we need to own that and be serious about defeating it.
Congressman Mike Pompeo, thank you for being with us. Thank you for your leadership on this issue. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, we've got a five-point plan out. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that later, but one of those is making sure that we do call this enemy an enemy, and I think, and I'm going to play the John McCain bite, actually, because it's fascinating here that everybody's starting to say we got to act like we're at war with ISIS, whether it's an authorization for a military engagement, the formal authorization or whichever form it takes, an acknowledgement that we're at war with them. Here's what John McCain said today, Senator McCain.
I think there's one fundamental here. We're either going to kill them there or we're going to kill them in places like Istanbul or San Bernardino or Orlando or Paris. That's what you're going to kill them one of those two places.
So it's either get them there or they're going to come here. And we've got John Brennan saying today that, in fact, they expect here in the United States, Stan, this kind of attack that we saw yesterday in Turkey at a very secure airport come into play here.
Well, it comes back to what Congressman Mike Pompeo just closed with, Jay. Do you believe that ISIS is growing or do you believe that they're receding? And I would just point out San Bernardino, Orlando, Istanbul. It is very clear that they are growing and we are going to have to fight them, whether it's here or abroad. Jay, this is a conversation with the Hill that we are having each and every day. It is time for them to step in and fill the void that this president has created. Clearly, there is a war going on. The only question that remains for the United States is, will we acknowledge the war that is taking place? We are going to have to do that, Jay, if we are going to have any hope at winning it. I think there is a resolve growing on the Hill. You heard it there from Congressman Pompeo, but we still have some work to do. We've got to fill the void that this president has created.
I'm going to go ahead and take some phone calls here. I'll take at least one call before the break. Let's do this. Let's go to James, who's calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Hello.
Hi, James. You're on the air.
My question is, how come the parents of the Marines in Benghazi have not filed a lawsuit against Hillary Clinton?
Because there's sovereign immunity. That's the reason. You cannot sue the administration that way. Let me tell you what we have done, though. This is important. We're going to talk about this in the second half hour of the broadcast. We have filed a lawsuit, though, James, by the American Center for Law and Justice against the United States Department of State for their continual lying and misrepresentation of the whole transaction with Iran, which, by the way, is fueling a lot of this. Believe me, this terrorism that we're seeing is being fueled by a lot by Iran. Not insignificant. This is the largest state sponsor of terror, and the American people were lied to. We're calling it a virus of deception because that's what it is. So we did take action, and we filed a suit. That's what we could do. All right, we've got a lot more to come up. I'm glad we were joined by Congressman Mike Pompeo. We're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you go to ACLJ.org right now, we've got a petition up to defeat ISIS and Islamic jihadists. We have a five-point plan. You know about it. Hundreds of thousands of you have read it. We encourage you to take a look at it and get more familiar. If you haven't signed that petition, 74,000 have. Then it'd be good to get that up to 100,000 in the next week, correct? As we really start pushing on this.
Oh, it's going to be fundamental. We got to make sure the American people don't lose track of this, Jay, because it's going to be them that pushes Congress to action.
All right, so go to ACLJ.org right now and take action there. Also, like us on Facebook. I've got a page. ACLJ has a page, Jordan has a page, even the J Secular Band has a page. Like all of our Facebook, get involved in our social media. I have a Twitter page, so does Jordan. We need to make every available option to you. And as Logan usually says at this time, we're available on multiple platforms. So you've got us on radio around the country, millions listening on radio. We're on Facebook, we're on Periscope, we're on ACLJ.org. So there's multiple ways. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
had Congressman Mike Pompeo on as well, and we were talking about what has happened in the Benghazi report, where the narrative is completely false that the administration gave. Then I want to look at where we are politically right now. What is the ramifications of this? We got presidential campaigns that are geared up. You've got the situation in Turkey. Then you got this Benghazi report, the liberal media saying, oh, it doesn't matter. And we're pointing out to where Hillary Clinton lied for it, and the whole deception program of the Obama administration was going on for weeks.
Yeah, there's no other response, Jay, other than that this is climbing the ladder of important issues for this election. I think it should be all the way at the top. Listen, think about this. The two largest terror attacks on U.S. soil since 9/11, Jay, both of them have happened in the first half of 2016. Both of them were carried out by Islamic jihadists, and yet our commander-in-chief, our administration, continues to insist that the proper response to those two attacks, and by the way, a litany of other smaller ones that have happened around the world, is to label those who would look at the motivation of these attackers as bigots. That cannot happen, Jay. And if it continues to happen, if our next president continues to double down on this foreign policy, on this method of attacking this, we will continue to lose, and this threat of terror will continue to grow. So this has to be the number one issue in the fall, in my opinion.
All right, I've got Skip Asher, senior counsel for the ACLJ, on, who is also in charge of our national security practice. We have a terrorist attack in Turkey. The Israelis were on air yesterday saying Turkey's the second most secure airport behind Ben-Gurion. Also yesterday, and you're not going to hear this in many places, folks, Israel and Turkey reestablished formal diplomatic relationships yesterday, the same day that this attack takes place. Skip, your analysis of this.
Well, my analysis is that this is probably an ISIS attack, that ISIS was aware of the fact that Turkey and Israel were going to reestablish relations, which they opposed. And I think they used this as a method of sending a message, not only to Erdogan and his people in Turkey, that this is unacceptable and that they are not extreme enough. Remember that President Erdogan is already a very radical Islamist, that he is a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, and yet ISIS considers him too moderate for their taste, and therefore they're bringing the war to him, and that's going to have an impact on Turkey. And 80%, there was a poll recently, 80% of the Turkish population has some sympathy with ISIS and its goals. And therefore, we can expect more of this even in Turkey, and it's going to spread to Western Europe and to the United States.
I want everybody to hear what Skip just said. 80% of the population of Turkey has at least some type level of support for what ISIS is doing. So Erdogan, who is an Islamist, feels he's being threatened by the other caliphate because he really wants to be the caliphate. Now, they're also a NATO partner here. But, Skip, I want to underscore something here I think is very important for people to understand. You don't think it was coincidence that the formal reestablishment of diplomatic relationships between Israel and Turkey took place yesterday?
I do not. It has been rumored in the press for the last week or so that this was going to take place. There would be a formal recognition of the fact that Israel and Turkey were going to reestablish full diplomatic relations, and I think that gave ISIS the opportunity to plan to send a message on the very day that happened that they are opposed to the regime in Turkey.
Yeah, I think this is the nature of what we've got. Let's take another phone call here. Let's go to Dave's calling from Fullerton, California. Dave, go ahead. All right, Dave, we'll come back to you in a moment. Let's go to Marcus, who's calling in San Diego, California, on line 5. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yesterday, all day long on the radio and on TV, the media was saying the Obama administration did very little to help. And I yelled at the radio saying, very little, they did nothing. And then later I thought, well, they didn't even do, they did worse than that. They hindered and made it better for the, the terrorists to do what they did.
Well, they did something. They lied. We're going to talk about that with Professor Harry Hutchison coming up. But they did something. They lied. But Skip, we have talked about this. I want to get Skip and Than on this because you raised a very important point. And that is, this deception is also part of the reason they bring out these false narratives. Their whole idea of engaging jihadists has failed. And it's failed miserably now for 8 years.
That's exactly right. They're relying on political correctness. They have a view of the way the world they would like it to be. And they have looked out and they see the world that way despite what their own eyes see, and that is the world is
right.
Exactly the opposite of what they're saying it is. So they are deceiving themselves at the cost of the American people, and lives are being shed because of that that viewpoint and their unrecognition of reality.
I'm going to play for everybody right now a message. This was a statement from Representative Trey Gowdy yesterday. His biggest takeaway is exactly what we've been saying. Take a listen.
The biggest takeaway for me, and everyone's going to have to make up their own mind, is this two-hour White House meeting from 7:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. Keep in mind, in Benghazi, our guys are still getting shot at, and this is after Panetta has issued his order. There's a two-hour meeting, which the secretary participated in. Read the summaries of that two-hour meeting. Read the readouts of what came out of that two-hour meeting. That was when the decision was made not to go to Benghazi, but to go to Tripoli. That is when all the concern was expressed about hurting the Libyans. Feelings by showing up in uniform.
So it is very clear, Than, that what we have is a complete false narrative, or as Harry Hutchinson has said, a virus of deception that has infected the State Department and the, I believe, the Obama administration as well. I gave the narrative of the timeline on this. I'm going to go through that again in the next half hour of the broadcast. But the fact is, this level of deception, but here's what the American people are asking, Than, what can we now do? We've got the report, now what?
Well, Jay, first of all, people have to understand that that false narrative started while these two Americans were on the roof of that compound taking fire. Let me just read you two quotes very quickly from this report that came out of that White House meeting. First of all, they said, if any deployment is made, and then they issued a list of action items that were, half of them were based around the YouTube video. So, Jay, while our Americans were under fire, they were trying to decide whether or not to go to their aid, and we know that they ultimately decided they did not. What can be done about it? There is going to be a piece of legislation that comes out of this report that mandates changes in how training is done. We've talked about that a lot, as well as who can make the commands to go to the aid of one of our soldiers who is under fire. I think that that kind of legislation is where Congress needs to move, and I expect we will see it in the next few weeks.
By the way, Lou on Facebook just said, how do we fight the lies and manipulation of our own government? Well, Than just laid out how we're going to do it, but let me add something else to you. For those who are watching on TV or watching on the Facebook or Periscope or ACLJ.org or you're listening to us on radio, here it is. This is a federal lawsuit. American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State. We've sued the State Department because of their manipulation and lies on the whole transaction with Iran, the largest state sponsor of terror. We have just sent out, or working on right now, another lawsuit or FOIA request on the issue of who's deleting the words Islamist, jihadist, Sharia from the training manuals. When you don't identify the enemy, guess what? The enemy goes to Turkey or goes to Orlando, goes to San Bernardino, Fort Hood, Chattanooga, New York City, Washington, D.C., or Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They've got to be stopped. We're in a war. We don't want to recognize it, but that's the reality of what we've got. But we don't have to just sit and take it. We can fight back in the halls of Congress. We can fight back with our vote. We can fight back in the halls, in the courtrooms around America, and we're doing just that. All right, we're going to take more of your calls. We are, our first half hour of the broadcast is over. Listen, here's what happens, folks. We're here for a full hour. So what we need you to do is go over to, if you're not getting the full broadcast now, simply go over to SiriusXM. You got it. A number of stations carry the full hour. But if you don't, just go over to ACLJ.org. You can get here audio only. You can see a TV production of it going on right now, and including during the breaks. Or you can go over to Facebook or Periscope. Facebook, it's J/JaySekulow, at JaySekulow on Periscope. We encourage you to do it one of multiple ways. Sign our petition to defeat ISIS at ACLJ.org. We're going to be back with more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot more ahead. You're going to want to stay tuned. So make sure if you're losing us now, right over to the ACLJ.org. You can pick us up there, Facebook or Periscope. Back with more in a moment.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
podcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, let me lay out the case here. So yesterday we talked about the biggest takeaway from the Benghazi report was the fact that military assets were never deployed to fight, despite the fact that, sorry, we're having a little bit of technical problems in the studios here, despite the fact that Secretary Panetta ordered them. Who countermanded that order? I believe there's only one person that could countermand. The commander-in-chief is the one who did it, because if it's the Secretary of Defense, that's about as high as it goes. So there's a countermand of that order somewhere. We're going to try to get to the bottom of that. The president will deny it. But the president also had his entire administration give a false narrative. Not only did the military not engage and not allowed to engage, but in fact, they gave a false narrative. We're calling it a virtual virus of deception that has reached the State Department, the Obama administration, and even the Department of Justice. We filed a lawsuit on behalf of all of us against the State Department for their lies about Iran. We're working on right now about the redoing of the training manuals and taking out words like Islamist and Sharia and jihadist. And then you've got this. It was a video. It was a video that caused this. Do we have the audio of where the Susan Rice says that on television? Because this is very important for people to remember this. Because we're in a presidential election, and both sides are going to want to make their talking points. I'm just going to lay out the evidence to you. Susan Rice, here's what she said.
This was not a pre-planned, premeditated attack. That what happened initially was that it was a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired in Cairo as a consequence of the video.
If she was on a stand, said that in judge, sworn under oath, she'd be held in contempt and thrown in jail for lying under oath. False statement. You know how false? That was September 14th. Here's what we know. Hillary Clinton emails her daughter, Chelsea. By the way, why she emailed Chelsea this particular situation, but this is what she said, raises a whole security question. Two officers killed in Benghazi by an al-Qaeda-like group. No mention of a video. To the Egyptian prime minister the next day, Hillary Clinton, summary of her statement. We know that the attack in Libya had nothing to do with the film. It was a planned attack, not a protest. Ben Rhodes, September 14th, though, he says, let me underscore, these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader policy failure. Charles Wood, father of Tyrone Wood. I gave Hillary a hug and shook her hand, and she said, we're going to have the filmmaker arrested who was responsible for the death of my son. Wes Smith, the colonel that was on with us yesterday, who is a military advisor to the ACLJ, said this on our broadcast yesterday. He was there, standing between the president, the families, and the secretaries of state. He was the colonel chaplain in charge.
They lied to the families, Jay, because I was there with the families.
Talk
and Secretary
that.
Clinton said, we're going to get to the bottom of this and find out who made this video. And she talked to them about this video herself. Now she denies that. But in fact, she did.
So, Than, this is an administration that, as Harry Hutchinson will elaborate in a moment, has a virus of deception. Now the question is, I want to say it again, we talked about it at the end of the broadcast, what do the American people do? We filed a lawsuit, that's step one. Step two, politically, what do we do as far as engaging Congress?
You've got to understand who the players are here. And you heard Wes Smith talk about the connection to Secretary Clinton. Jay, I would just make this argument. Ben Rhodes was the one that briefed Susan Rice before she went out and lied to the American people. But Ben Rhodes got his instructions from Victoria Nuland, who had received information from the intelligence agencies that called this a terrorist attack. And Victoria Nuland responded, by the way, who answers directly to Secretary Clinton with this response. My building, that means Secretary Clinton, has a problem with this. My building has a problem with this. She instructed Ben Rhodes to change the narrative. Ben Rhodes instructed Susan Rice, who went out and lied to the American people. We have to understand who the players are here and then make sure that the next time we hand the reins to someone who will do better.
Let me play for you Mark Toner yesterday, State Department, acknowledging their falsehood and their lie. Here we go.
What I can say is that this was not some demonstration motivated by this video that suddenly spun up into an attack on our facilities. This was a coordinated attack.
Coordinated attack, not a video. Complete falsehood. New York Times runs a headline, no new developments, no new news. Well, I'll give you some new news. All the lying, all the deception, and the military not allowed to deploy when the Secretary of Defense ordered their deployment to come to the aid of those four Americans. The result? Four dead Americans and a lying Obama administration. I'll be back with your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. As I mentioned, we have filed a lawsuit yesterday, the American Center for Law and Justice, against the United States Department of State for their lying on the whole situation with Iran. We're working on another one right now on the whole situation with the Department of Homeland Security, removing the word Sharia, jihadist, Islamist, from our training manuals. But this has had serious repercussions because we're not naming the enemy. I'm going to go to, we're going to be joined by Professor Harry Hutchison in just a moment. He's in the studio with me here. Van Bennett's still with us in Washington, D.C. Rock is calling on line four from Washington, from Orange County, California. Hi, Rock.
How you doing, Jay?
Good,
I just wanted to say I appreciate all the work that you guys are doing
Thanks.
Over there. Here's the situation. I work for the district attorney's office, and we are pledged to sign documentation to support our code of conduct,
right?
Being a former Marine and also at the same time being in the capacity that I'm in now at the level that we're at in terms of the government level, if you will, I can't even imagine what they need to sign to be held accountable
yes.
in terms of their ethics at that level, at the level of the White House, et cetera. And, I mean, when is it time that we're going to hold them accountable to what they've signed and to what they've pledged to be able to offer?
Yeah,
you, as an attorney, pledge a certain
right. Well, Rock, let me jump in here. So let me tell you what we've done. We filed on the Iran situation because that's another false narrative. We're going to go through this right now with Professor Hutchison because let me tell you something, folks. This is symptomatic within the Obama administration. Harry, you called it this morning in our pre-meeting before we went on air. You said it's a virus of deception that has affected the State Department, the Department of Justice, and I say the Obama administration as well. And the Rock's call was a good one because it's talking about, you know, other levels of administration, even mid-level bureaucrats have certain requirements. They can't intentionally mislead. And here you've got a not a virtual lie, an absolute false narrative, both in Iran and in the situation that we're dealing with right now with Benghazi.
Yes, and I think this false narrative starts at the very top. And so if you go through a series of events from Benghazi, from the scrubbing of Omar Mateen's 9/11 phone call, you will find that the U.S. government has engaged in an intentional pattern of deceiving the American public. And it includes the attempt to hide the 2011 negotiations between the United States government and Iran.
And at that time, of course, Iran was controlled by Ahmadinejad. Their narrative, just so everybody's familiar, the narrative was a more moderate regime went in place with Rouhani, and we had an opportunity and an opening. And he sent Susan Rice and others over there and Valerie Jarrett to start these negotiations. But that was absolutely false.
Absolutely. And Ben Rhodes now admits that the United States government, since 2011, has been engaged in these negotiations. And the United States government believed at the time that they could hide these negotiations and they could deflect attention away from these negotiations in order to pursue a plan and pattern of allowing the number one state sponsor of terrorism $150 billion.
I want to underscore that again, folks. $150 billion gets released to Iran, and we're sold a complete false narrative. I mean, and I believe with you that it starts at the top. So I think that virus of deception starts with the Obama administration.
Absolutely.
Let me throw something here to Tham, because I want to take this call, and we'll get right back into this. Because people are saying, what can be done? Mary is calling from New York. She's on line three. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Jay. I'm just so annoyed when I hear I heard them giving a report, and all I could think of is what in the world would they find as impeachable against this president?
Yeah.
And why isn't there some?
So let me jump in on the impeachment. Than the fact is, politically, that clock has passed. That ship has sailed. There's not time for that.
I think we have to focus on what will protect the American people, Jay. I mean, if we spend time on impeachment, we're not going to get over the line. What we need to spend time on is making sure that the people are tasked with protecting the homeland are doing the right job. Let me just quickly give a narrative. You talked about this virus of deception. Jay, it's also reached Congress. Yesterday, there was a hearing in the Senate about these training materials that we have talked about and why we are training our Homeland Security officials to look the other way. And here's what Senator Coons said when he got a chance to talk about this. He said, ISIS is not Islamic. Jay, from the administration to Congress to the State Department, all of them are looking the other way. They are not looking the threat in the eye, and in fact, they are saying the exact opposite. They are saying that the threat that we are facing is not real. Until that changes, we're going to be under continued threat.
I'm going to play that bite right now. We have it. Let's play it.
ISIS is not Islamic. It is a perverted misinterpretation of one of the world's great religions. It is a death cult.
I want to stop right there. Let me tell you what it is, okay? Let's say it's only 10% of Islam, okay? 10% of how many? 1.7 billion people? And then we had Skip Ash was on earlier saying 80% of those living in Turkey, this is the secular Turkey, the moderate regime of Turkey, which it isn't anymore, we know that. But they got attacked because they weren't radical enough and they had formal diplomatic relationships with Israel. So I go right back to this pattern of deception, Harry, and this is what has me concerned. We have filed a lawsuit against the State Department. I'm holding it up for everybody to see. American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State. We're working on one right now that I suspect will be one against the Department of Homeland Security. This one deals with the false narrative of Iran. We saw the false narrative on Benghazi. The question is, Harry, this is not just a once-in-a-while thing. This is a systematic approach that this administration is engaged in right now.
Absolutely. And it goes back to the IRS. Yep. The IRS engaged in discriminatory treatment of so-called Tea Party patriot organizations.
We handle those cases. We know. Yep.
And then they issued a false narrative saying that it was unintentional when the facts on the ground clearly point in the opposite direction.
So this approach, is it a deflection so they can get the agenda through regardless? In other words, we say one thing and even have Susan Rice go out and still make the statements after everybody knew it was false. Still send her out because the political operative, Ben Rhodes, said, hey, it's got to be about the video. Don't let this be about a failed policy. But at the end of the day, Harry, the deception is because it's a failed policy.
Absolutely. And I think they would not need to engage in deception if they had a winning strategy. They don't have a winning strategy in dealing with terrorism. They don't have a winning strategy, really, in dealing with Iran and the entire Middle East.
Are we dealing with a situation where there's 6 months left of this presidency, basically, almost seven, but a lot of things can happen in that 7 months? Is the deception a do you see, in light of everything we've heard this last week, do you see this deception technique changing?
Absolutely not. I suspect they will just attempt to run out the clock. They will then hope that the Obama administration is followed by a Clinton administration.
Yeah.
And then all of these details will not make a difference, at least in terms of holding the Obama administration and its staffers accountable. Right. In essence, their hope is to never be held accountable.
So, Than, let me go to you here. We are doing what we can at the ACLJ. We're not just talking about it on this radio broadcast. We lay out the evidence for you. But, folks, I'm holding the lawsuit. We filed the lawsuit. There's more coming, I'm telling you. There's going to be a lot more coming. But a consistent question. I'm getting this on Facebook. Renee said, I'd like to know who gave the stand-down order in Benghazi, for instance, and who was the one who had the power to give that order. By the way, we think that once the Secretary of Defense made the decision, the only person that could countermand that is the commander-in-chief. I mean, that just makes sense. But this is the frustration level, Than. So let's talk about what happens inside Congress.
Well, first of all, I would tell you that we know that the White House, after the order to actually execute assets to rescue those individuals was made, the White House is the one that changed that to if deployments are made. So whether or not there was the president himself or not, Jay, it was definitely the White House. What can be done inside of Congress? Two things. No matter who the next commander-in-chief is, we better be training our Homeland Security officials to identify the threat. That's why our lawsuit is going to target these training manuals at Homeland Security. But the other thing, Jay, I think we have to be honest about who our next commander-in-chief is going to be. Secretary Yep. Clinton told her daughter that this was a terrorism attack. And then she told the families of the victims and the American people that it was about a YouTube video. That is not acceptable from a commander-in-chief, and she needs to be held to account for those two narratives that she delivered.
Let me say this. We can't endorse or oppose candidates for public office on this broadcast. We're not allowed to do that. But what we are allowed to do is give you the facts and give you the evidence. And that's what we're doing. You take the evidence where it leads. We're just laying the case out. And this is a very serious case, it is. We're going to take more of your calls. We are in the last segment of the broadcast. It's hard to believe it already. So hang on the line. I know a lot of you have been holding. Hang in there. We're going to get to you in a moment. Sign the petition right now at ACLJ.org so that we actually identify this enemy, call it what it is, deal with it as it is, and fight back. Also, make sure you're engaged with us on social media. You can do that at Facebook. I've got a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Also, I encourage you to follow us on Twitter. We're constantly updating. We're constantly getting information out. A lot of ways you can engage with us, and we encourage you to do all of that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls in a very quick round here, and we're going to get through all the calls we can. A lot of you have been holding again. Thank you for your patience. We've had a lot of things, a lot of issues today to cover. We've got more to cover, so stay tuned. A lot more ahead. Back in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. That lawsuit filed yesterday against the State Department for their lies about Iran. Harry Hutchinson has been talking about that. We're going to go to our phones and do as many calls as we can do. Let's go to Ray first, San Diego, California. Go ahead, Ray. We'll come back to Ray when you're ready. Donna is calling from San Diego also. Donna, go ahead.
Hi. First question is, how can we get a copy of the Benghazi report that just came out?
It's online.
And number two, is this just another symptom of what's been going on for 7.5 years of deception virus?
Yeah, well, Aaron, with the report, just go to benghazi.house.gov, and you could read the whole report. That's there. But she does ask the question about the virus of deception. Has this been going on for a long time within this administration?
Absolutely. And I think this administration has rejected, among other things, for instance, American exceptionalism. They've rejected a commitment to truth. Instead, this administration is committed deeply to the pursuit of power and transformative politics. And as a consequence, truth is arguably a victim, and these false narratives are seen as being justified by the pursuit of the proper outcome.
Yep. Alan's calling from Erie, Pennsylvania, on line 6. Hi, Alan, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
Good, sir.
My question is, now that this information has been made public by your group, how can we get that to the mainstream media that isn't corrupted by the administration to get this information out to the general public of this country so they know the truth?
Well, if you watched the mainstream media yesterday, it was obviously attention went to the terrorist attack in Turkey at the airport, and understandably, but it was as if the Benghazi report did not happen. I mean, or as the New York Times said, the exact opposite. She was vindicated being Hillary Clinton, which is exactly the opposite of what the report shows. So what we've done and we're continuing to do is we're now taking litigation action on this. And then we're letting our voice be heard on Capitol Hill as well.
Well, you've got to read the report, first of all. But second of all, the reason Hillary Clinton's name wasn't in the report, Jay, was because this committee was tasked with laying out the evidence, much like we're doing on this broadcast. And that evidence pointed to the positions of officials. The Secretary of State was mentioned many, many times. Who was the Secretary of State? That was Hillary Clinton. So first of all, people need to arm themselves with the information that's in this report, but then they need to understand there is a linkage here. You have to apply the evidence to the people that carried them out and then act accordingly.
You know, Justin on Facebook, Harry, said, what do you think Hillary Clinton's response to the report? It's time now to move on, because that's what she said. It's time now to move on. That, again, is kind of the pattern of the virus of deception.
Absolutely. But it also represents her conclusion that the mainstream media is totally a subsidiary, if you will, of the Democratic Party. And I think yesterday's events suggests that there is absolutely some truth in that.
Yep.
The mainstream media, starting with the New York Times, sought to vindicate Hillary Clinton, apparently before even reading the report.
Yep. Obviously before reading the report, because you couldn't read the whole report before they did it. So that's absolutely correct. By the way, this is one of the reasons that the ACLJ, we are broadening our media platforms. We're going to be moving into a new media center. We're going to have new podcasts in addition to the radio broadcasts. We're obviously on multiple platforms now. We're on Roku. We're on Apple TV. We're on a number of stations, so we're going to continue to do that. Let's go right back to the phones here. Bill's calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Bill.
I just want to know, I'm having a hard time understanding. What did Hillary do wrong? How do we know she did it? And what did she have to gain?
So what she did wrong was she parroted and continued and participated in the creation of a false narrative. And that false narrative was that video, there was a video that inspired this attack. And rather than that this was an organized terrorist attack. So when she said, what difference does it make, Bill? It makes all the difference in the world. Because we could not get the truth out of the administration to determine whether we had an ongoing Al-Qaeda, or then even could have been ISIS, but certainly Al-Qaeda-type inspired incident. And she did not deploy the necessary security personnel when she was warned before the attack. Because why? She was going to run for president of the United States, and Libya was going to be her crown of glory. So what she did was engage in, Harry, a deceptive technique, a virus of deception, in order to keep the truth out. So the truth hurts sometimes, but that's the truth.
And it's even worse than that. She was more concerned about the reaction in Libya by Libyan officials,
yes,
than she was interested in saving the lives of four Americans. And at least two of them could have been saved if the United States had deployed assets, which it had in the theater,
right?
But it refused to send them. Instead, the military was deciding which uniforms or whether or not to wear civilian clothing, and they never went. So this is a huge failure by the administration. It implicates directly Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And to the extent that the truth gets out, it may adversely affect her presidential ambitions.
And that's why she's trying to blow it off as the matters over old news. Ray is calling from San Diego, California. Ray, go ahead.
Jay.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed you. I was trying to get my phone out. I'm at work, man. Why not a class action lawsuit against the Clinton Foundation for all the deaths of from Mena?
Because you'd have to. We don't have the evidence of a tie-in between the Clinton Foundation and the State Department other than what's being investigated right now by the FBI. So there's not a class action suit that you can bring. And there's issues of sovereign immunity. Much more complicated. Appreciate the call. Anthony's calling from New York City. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Yes, sir.
One more thing I want to mention. A few days ago, the president of Turkey, Erdogan, apologized, right, and this was reported.
To Russia.
Apologized to Russia.
Right.
Russia accepted the apology, and today it seems like they're mending ties.
Yep.
Russia obviously is a nightmare for ISIS, so I was just going to say that might also be a possible trigger.
I think that's a fair thing. I think that's being discussed right now in Washington. That well could be. I think it's part of the fact. The ISIS attack yesterday in Turkey was ISIS is not happy with Turkey, period, but also that they formally reestablished their diplomatic relationship with Israel yesterday, the day of the attack. Hamas isn't happy about it. ISIS isn't happy about it. Than?
I think that's the larger of the two factors, Jay. They are against anything that advances the standards of the West. That includes Israel, and reestablishing those ties, I think, was the factor. But I will say this. An emergence of Russia and a muscular Putin in the region, they are going to be the leader that steps into this void.
Yep.
That also factors in here, Jay. He's absolutely right.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I've got a book coming out in the fall called Unholy Alliance, Russia, Iran, and the jihadists. And while they don't want the jihadists because it interferes with Russia, they'll use them. In fact, this is not the first time this has happened. Let me just put it that way. If you look at the Israeli conflicts with the Arab world, Russia, it was always a proxy war between the United States and Russia, most of the time. All right, we'll take the last call. Ava, very quickly, please. Ava's not there, so we're just going to end it today. All right, so we had a little bit of technical difficulty. Seems like we've got through it. That's okay. The program is coming to an end. Folks, let me encourage you, stay engaged with us at the ACLJ, ACLJ.org, and join the ACLJ. That lawsuit we're filing today, American Center for Law and Justice versus the State Department, there will be many more to come on that. I'm telling you, a lot more action on this. We can't just sit idly by the next 7 months and just see what happens. The consequence of that is things like Turkey. We'll talk to you on the broadcast tomorrow.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.